Faith is the title deed to heaven itself. That's the title that I have given this message. Faith is the title deed to heaven itself. I remember Brother Farrar in his class, he loved to go into this type of eschatology, or, well, last things and future events, and the future of heaven itself. Heaven itself. I want to go back and read 10:39. I'm going to read that one more time. Brother Randall, you read that from the Amplified Bible last week. I'd like for you to read it again. Or Marilyn, you're there, aren't you? You see where Lebanon was? Go to 10:39. Yeah. We'll be looking at this a little bit.
I'll start it right now. But our way is not that of those who go back to eternal misery and perdition and are utterly destroyed, but we are of those who believe, who cleave to and trust in and rely on God through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and by faith preserve the soul.
All right. I'm going to read that from you from Greek. Or to you from Greek, hemes de uk esmen hypo stoles eis apoleon alla pistios eis peri poeisen sukes, I should say. But we are not of the ones that run back, shrink under the load unto destruction, but of faith, the system of teaching, unto the purchase. It literally means there, peripoiesen. It means to make around. It means the preservation or the possession of the soul or of eternal life. James, in the book of James, says, faith without works is wonderful. What did he say? It's dead. It's dead. Faith without works is dead. I believe in eternal security of the believer because the Bible teaches that. There are two groups in the world today. There are the Calvinists and there are the Arminians. All right? If you're lobbed under one or two of those, you are lobbed under one or two of those categories. If you don't believe once you're saved, that you are saved eternally. If you are really saved, you're going to go to heaven, regardless. Okay? You are saved forever. And then but the Arminians believe that there is you have to do good works after you're saved or you're lost. Okay? That salvation alone is not it. That faith alone is not enough, but you have to keep up good works. There are all different types of categories of Arminians. All different types of categories. There are some that if you sin one sin, you're going to go to hell after you're saved. And you have to be saved again. Now, I don't know why they don't baptize. Some groups baptize them every time they sin and come back to the Lord. There are some out there that do baptize you again. And then there are some of those that... How far do you have to go to lose your salvation? First of all, we do not possess salvation. God possesses us. And when He purchases us with His blood, we are purchased, period. That's it. We are a final product. Okay? When the Lord saves us. Now, the religious world out there gets a little bit confused. Even your hyper-Calvinists say... Now, this is the hyper-Calvinist. Say that only those that persevere to the end really know whether they're saved or not. Now, I was saved at a very early time in my life. I was saved in a charismatic church. That church didn't preach the Bible. There was just barely enough of the Bible. In Sunday school, you might hear a little bit about it. But up in the preaching time, it was all emotion and talking in tongues and things like that. And that just completely took control. So the preaching services were very meager. In Sunday school, I heard a little bit about Abraham and Noah and things, and most of it was not sound teaching. And after I was saved, I went back out into the world. And I knew I was saved. I felt like I was saved. I had an experience of grace and everything when I came to know the Lord. My ex-grandmother, my mother was married to a man, and his mother went to that church very faithful. She was a faithful child of God. And she went down with me and prayed with me and told me what to say and everything. She saw I was under conviction that the preacher, none of them came down. She did. I went back into the world. I was never comfortable in the world ever because I was not of the world. I didn't know that. They taught me in school that there was no God. My family, basically, after my grandmother died, most of them didn't even believe in God. Sure didn't act like it. But God never turned loose of me. He had a hold of me all the time. If I got far away from Him, He just yanked me in line. And here I was, you know, I just acted like a lost person in all reality, but the Lord kept me, He was guiding me like in a chute toward Himself. I finally got all busted up, working in the oil fields, and was flat on my back almost, and I started reading the Bible. And I thought I was saved again, but I wasn't. I gave my life to God. If I've ever gone away from the Lord has, with a strong hand, brought me back to Him, to Himself. Faith is the title deed to heaven itself. That's basically the title of this message. I believe Brother Farrar said that many years ago. Faith is the title deed to heaven itself. Faith. And we're going to find out what faith is. We're going to find out what faith is. But faith unto the possession of the eternal life. That's what it says here in verse number 39. Now chapter 11 didn't start here with 11 and 1. It started over here in the other verses. That's where that chapter actually started. All right, 11 and verse 1. Eston. Day. Piston. Elpisomenon. Hypostasis. Pragmaton. Elekos. Who? Blepomenon. All right. There's a lot of beautiful verses in here. Now, a lot of cross-references. Even in the last verse, 10:39, Luke 7:13-33, and Acts 20:28, Ephesians 1 and 14, and 1 Thessalonians 4 and 9 were cross-references to that. Okay? Now, this one here, we have Hebrews 3 and 4, 3, 6, 11, 7, 11, 27, Romans 8 and 24, Romans 8 and 28, 2 Corinthians 4:18, 5, 7, 9, 4, and Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. These are all cross-references to this, and even Hebrews 10 and 36. It starts off here, moreover, it is faith of things being caused to be hoped for. That's the best way I can translate. Of things being caused to be hoped for. That's passive voice there, see there? The faith of things being hoped for. Now, elpizo, or elpis in Greek, means a little more than faith in English. This faith here is a guaranteed future existence. This is a title deed. I'm telling you, this word faith here, when you have faith to be saved, I'm going to tell you something, that's a miracle. And that faith comes from God. Ephesians 2 and 8. What does Ephesians 2 and 8 say? And I'm going to translate it from Greek for you. For in grace, inside of grace, ye are having been saved through faith. And that faith didn't come out of you. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works that He has foreordained that we should walk in them. That He has foreordained. God's children ought to act like they're God's children. If they don't act like God's children, it's a great possibility they aren't. Simple as that. But if you have faith to be saved, and if God's Spirit is guiding you and controlling your life, you have eternal life now. You have eternal life now. You have heaven in your hands. Faith is a title deed. It is the key to heaven. That's it. Faith is. More, it is faith of the things being caused to be hoped for, hypostasis. Look at that word, hypostasis. Now, what in the world does that come from? That comes from hypo and stasia, doesn't it? What is the word anastasia? Anastasia. That means the resurrection. That means to stand again, doesn't it? And here it says, hypo means what? Under. And then stasia is what? To understand. So what do we have here? Understand. That means the foundation, doesn't it? Hope is the foundation. Now, a foundation, we're standing on a floor here, aren't we? Are we not? If we weren't standing on the floor, where would we be? Down in the dirt down there, about 6 foot down or so, at least 5 or 6 foot down there, we'd be down there. But because we're standing on the floor on a foundation of this building, we're standing here. Okay? Now, is that a reality? Is that tangible? Reach down there, somebody, and touch that floor. Is that tangible? All right, it's tangible. I'm going to tell you something. Faith is tangible. Just as tangible as that. Faith is tangible. Faith is a reality. A reality. It's proof. Aristotle used this term. It's a guarantee of a transaction. That's what this one word means. It's the foundation of a building. It's a contract. It's a promise. It's something that you hold on firm to. This is the foundation stone of the Bible, is faith. It's a reality. It's the title deed, pragmaton. We get our word pragmatic from this in English, don't we? By the way, if you want to look up under hypostasis, if you want to put down page 419, that's the page you look that up on in the analytical Greek lexicon. All right? And then pragmaton. Pragmaton. That means to execute. It comes from proso on page 339. It means tangible property. Reality of tangible property. That means a title deed. Okay? A title deed. And then we come to another word. All right? We come to another word, elekos. Elekos. This means evidence. It means proof. It means conviction. It means tangible proof. It means unconditional, reliable, undeniable proof. Look at this. More, it is faith, having been caused to be hoped for, but with a guaranteed future existence, a reality, an absolute proof of tangible property and evidence, proof of a signed title deed. Proof. Proof of a signed title deed. And then it says a little adverb of negation there. That comes from ook. That's ooh. Okay. Page 294. And then it says caused to be seen. Caused to be being seen. All right. We can see heaven itself through faith. I remember a long time ago, we had to work hard. When I was out picking cotton in the cotton field right on the farm where I live, it was some hot days out there. There was 120 degree days. Bad, bad. It was drier then than it is now. It wasn't the humidity here. that it was back then. But boy, I mean to tell you, and those colored people. Do you ever remember, Marilyn, hearing those colored people out there singing?
Yes.
And the Okie singing? They could sing together. I mean, they'd get out there and they'd sing in those cotton fields. Mm-hmm. And you know what they'd be singing about? About glory beyond this purgatory. I'm going to tell you something out there in those fields. It's rough. Back then, they didn't have a shade. They didn't have a toilet.
They didn't.
Nope. Didn't have anything. There was nothing for the work. There was no water. Nothing. You went out there, you carried you a gallon of water out of an old Purex bottle or something, and they were all glass back then. You carried that thing around with you, and you drug that too if you wanted to drink water, or else you didn't get anything. You didn't have any shade. You didn't have anything. You worked out there, and those that were spiritual were saying the glory, the streets of gold. Let us gather at the river. Boy, can you imagine being out there in 120 degrees and then singing, let's gather at the river, and feeling that river, and feeling being baptized down there, gather at the river. The writer of this book is spurring them on to loyalty. Faith is a title deed of heaven itself. Whoever the writer was, whether it was Paul, which some people think it is, or whether it was Apollos, which I probably lean toward more than anything. Whoever the writer to this was, he's spurring them on to do something with your lives. Go out and do something eternal. Here's a word. All right. Brother Randall, you know what that word is? What?
Barashit.
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 That's the first word in the Bible, isn't it?
Right.
The first word in the Bible. That's it. The first word in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Old Testament. That's the word. Now, Hebrew is read from right to left. All right? It says in Hebrew, Barashith, and then Bara, Elohim, et Hashemayim, we et Haaretz. All right? God created the heavens and the earth in beginnings. Now, this the Hebrew rabbis say about this, what is this letter here?
Beth.
All right? Now, it's closed on this side, isn't it? The door is shut on this side. Everything leads this way. And what this word means is in beginnings. In one of the beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth. If you go back to all of the beginnings, to where there is only God, we can't understand anything about God that way at all, can we? What's back there? What's beyond the base? Now, the base is like a mouth. It's open this way. You have to realize that this is backwards from English and Greek and whatever. It's going this way. Back on this side, it's closed, isn't it? We don't know a whole lot back there when it was God only. We know back in eternity past, in another beginning, when He created the angels and spirits. Okay? He created them. But you get back there all the way back to where it's just God. Just Elohim. Okay. Just Elohim only. And it's closed. That's where God is. Now, in faith, once you believe in God, okay, one of the first steps of belief in God, where is God's revelation of Himself? Where is it found? Where is God's revelation of Himself? In the Bible. All right? Now, as a child of God, I have spent almost all of my adult life studying God's Word. Now, first of all, I believe it, regardless. I believe the Bible because it's God's Word, okay? I have read many books about discrepancies with the Word of God. When I was out wandering around with the world, I'd pick up papers and things like this and different things they would write about how the Bible was wrong, how the miracles in Egypt could not be, and all this kind of stuff, all the holes in the Bible. And I looked at that. But something always drew me to God, and that was Himself. And it was something else besides Himself. What do you think else it was?
Faith.
Faith. Because I had believed. I didn't understand everything. I was given a lot of wrong information to begin with. But I believed God's Word. Finally, I came down to the point to where I said, the Bible, I know, was written in Hebrew and Greek. I'm going to start studying Hebrew and Greek. And I believe the Bible is inspired. I believe that. So I started studying Hebrew and Greek. And I studied science and I studied archaeology and all of these things. I have never been disappointed. Nothing has ever led me away from God's Word. Nothing. I went on an archaeological tour in the Middle East. And everything I studied over there. I had people telling me that mankind had been here for 14, 15, 16, 18,000 years. Well, I had my Bible. I had the book of Genesis. Mankind's been on this earth about 6,000 years. That's about it. There is no history of mankind on this earth, no tangible, elekos, pragmaton, hypostasis, pragmaton, elekos. There is no tangible evidence historically that mankind has been on this earth more than 6,000 years. That's all of the real history we have of mankind, period. That's it. I talked to a man here a while back. He was a non-believer. And he said, well, what do you do with the Bible said the earth is, the science and say that the earth is 10 million years old? I said, the earth could be 10 million years old. In Genesis 1, it says, in one of the beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth. Way out there, I said, how long ago that is, we do not know. I have no idea how long ago that was. And then it says in Genesis 1 and verse 2, who can quote part of that verse? All right.
I wouldn't think they got the Hebrew Bible with
you. Oh, I do. I got something here. Barashit bara elohim et hashemayim the et haaretz the haaretz hathya tohu vavohu we ha shak el panei tohom ruah elohim mapeth el panei hamayim. It says, and the earth, the ha'aretz, and the earth, she became formless and void. Something happened back there. Something happened to the earth. How many years ago was that? I don't even know. That's back in eternity past. And the earth, she became formless and void. And then God starts making days after that. We have a first day after this. When God starts reconstructing the earth, then we have day one, Ashad. Day one, Yom Ashad. Day one. That's in space and time. Yom is how much time is Yom? It's a day, 24 hours, basically. All right? I believe that. What happened back in eternity past, I don't know how long ago that was. I accept that. I accept the Bible. Now we got people that wanted what they call the young earth theory to go along with, you know, that God had created the earth 6,000 years ago. But that's not what the Bible says. In eternity past, God, sometime back in eternity, He created the heavens and the earth, and she became formless and void. And then God reconstructed it, and at the end of that, He put man on the earth. That's it. That's what the Bible says. Now, I don't believe this other stuff. I'm going to try to teach a class pretty soon I'm going to teach it from Hebrew and probably the first 10 chapters of the book of Genesis. And we're not going to interpret the Bible. We're going to translate the Bible. Every translation, so-called, that I've ever seen is not a translation. It's an interpretation. The Hebrew Bible, Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, I've got one at home. And right in there, they have the Hebrew Bible. Bereshith bara Elohim eth hashamayim ve'eth ha'aretz. It tells you this. And then it tells you that God created the earth formless and void. But that's not what it says. That's not what it says. The earth, she became formless and void. She wasn't a chaos. She became that way. Now, when you have faith, you accept the Bible. You accept the Word of God. At face value, it is God's Word. Okay? Now, in John 1:1, it says, in RK. In Genesis 1:1, it says, Barashit. In RK, that is in that period of time back here, beyond the Baith. You see that? That's what we don't know much about. But John 1:1 says, in beginning kept on being, third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active, that word ain, kept on being the Jehovah, the Word. And the Word kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead, is what it says, because He was God. He kept on being God. That's what Genesis 1:1 said. Now that's way back yonder, when only God is, and we can't go back that far. The Bible just opens up a window right there and shows us back here at this period of time before this closed Baith on this size. All we have is Revelation. In Colossians, the first chapter, verses 16 onward, Colossians 1 and 16, it tells a little bit about that. I keep jumping past that in my Bible. Colossians 1 and 16. Okay, let's look at verse 15. It says, and He is the image of the invisible God, the first, or the head, the Rosh, is what it's actually talking about, the RK, the head, the Rosh, the head of all creation. All right. For in Him all things were created, both in heavens and upon the earth, visible and invisible. And we're going to see that in the book of Hebrews in just another verse or two. Visible and invisible, where the thrones or dominions, rulers, authorities. This is talking about way back yonder in RK. Way back there where we can't see. Only thing we see here from the earth is what happened on this side of Bereshit is the creation of the heavens and the earth. We can see the tangible evidence of the creation. We see in the fossil structure of the earth that there was great catastrophe at one time. There was a tremendous war on this earth from the fossil records. We see that. These fossils, some of them are miles deep in the earth. Now, back in the original creation, earth was Pangaea. It was Gondwana, if you want to call it that. Pangaea means all earth in one place. Okay? And when God divided the earth, I can guarantee you that some of the ocean floors became land. The whole San Joaquin Valley here is said one time it was the ocean floor. There's great big sharks and stuff in here. That probably at that period of time was in the original creation of God. But something happened back then. Something great, destruction. The earth moved. Alright? When the earth was destroyed, when the earth she became formless and void, and the author of that was Satan, Lucifer, when he rebelled against God. There was a great amount of destruction then. But then God put man over the earth, and He put man here as He had placed Lucifer at one time, except man was made in the image of God. You know, the angels are made in somewhat the image of God, aren't they? But man is made in the complete image of God. Just think about that for a while. Angels aren't like that. God said He made man in His what? in his blood flowing likeness. That's where the word Dom comes from. All right? He made in his spiritual likeness and his what? His intellectual likeness. His shadow casting image, his blood flowing likeness, and his spiritual image, he made man. All right? He placed man over it. And man failed. All right? He had the volition to fail, if he wanted to, and he failed. But God so loved man that he gave a redeemer for him. So God became man. That's John 1:14. God became man that he could redeem man and the earth back to himself. And that's where we are. We're in that process of being redeemed back to God right now. The whole earth is in the process of being redeemed back because of what our Savior did, what God did. All right? For him all things were created, both in the heavens and upon the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion, rules or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. For he is before all things. He's out here on the other side of Barashith. Way out there, yonder. Mankind only, we only have the evidence of the earth that tells us what happened since Barashith. But back in yonder, way back there, have any of you ever seen an angel? But do you believe in angels? The Bible says that. How about spirits? Any of you ever see a spirit? But they're real. They're there. You go in some of these charismatic churches, you'll see all kinds of stuff. It may not be from God. He is before all things. In him all things are held together. For he is the head of the body, even the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. It says, for it is the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. And I got news for you. All the fullness of God is going to dwell in you. And God dwells in you even to this day. You are physical like the Son. You are mental like the Father. You are spiritual. You have life like the Spirit. You're in His image right now. All right. 11 and verse 1. Brother Randall, over there, 11 and verse 1. Are you, you want to open up the Amplified Bible there? We're going to read this from the Amplified Bible. Okay. Let's see what those old boys have to say about this verse.
11 and 1.
Yes.
Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith receiving as real fact what is not revealed in senses.
All right. That word elekos there, that's, by the way, that's only used one time in the New Testament period. Now, Textus Receptus has it in 2 Timothy 3:16, but I don't think much of Textus Receptus, all right? Anyway, one time it's used absolutely in the New Testament, that word there. Whoever the writer here is using very rare words. 11 and verse 2 is a very short verse, 11 and verse 2. Randall, do you think you could read part of that for me?
11:2.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to read 11:1.
Well, we did, didn't we? Yeah, we read it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
11:2. Then, tau pe.
That's good. A plus.
Gar.
That's A plus too. All right. Martyrethason. All right. That's good. Next
hoi.
Word.
Hoi.
Hoi.
And then we have...
English word there.
Presbyteroi.
Presbyteroi. We got our word presbytery from that word right there. All right. And for in this... they obtain or were caused to obtain witness. The ones, elders. Our forefathers is what it's talking about. Our forefathers obtained witness. Who in the world is it talking about? Who in the world is the forefathers that it's talking about here? Who's the forefathers? Abraham, Noah, Adam, yeah, Seth, Abel. We're going to talk about all of them. All right? 11 and verse 3 now. 11 and verse 3. Faith opens the door to understanding of God's Word. Faith opens the door to understand God's Word. I wrote here, in faith we accept God's Word as infallible, as truth, blindly at first. Blindly at first, then by steps of true scientific search of each word, tense, mode, and voice, root, being fascinated, awed by the mind of God. Remember, it says that we could know the mind of God in the 10th chapter, that we would know the mind of God. I've got a video here that I want to show to the Sunday school class about the Star of Bethlehem. It is fascinating when you study the stars and astronomy and realize what happened back then. When Jesus was born, when the Lord led those wise men out of Babylon into Bethlehem, those stars were set up exactly right. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, there's certain things that happened. Now, God had to set that in motion in eternity. Well, when God built the heavens and the earth, He set all of those things in motion. Whatever that was, when He built the heavens and the earth, He set all of that in motion that it would really happen at that time. When we look back, when Joshua went into the Promised Land and he attacked Adonai Zedek up there in Jerusalem, and God fought all of those battles for them, by the way. What are some of the ways that God fought the battles and conquered the people? All the people had to do is by faith follow the Spirit of God. They had to follow the Shekinah glory of God. They had to follow, that's all. God did the winning. They went in there after the people were totally routed and chopped them up with swords, and that was about all. But God whipped Adonai Zedek's people by hitting them with little meteors, smack just exactly on their heads and not on Israel, right out there among them. Those comets, those asteroids, those meteors hit them and not Israel. No one in Israel died from those meteor showers, but Adonai Zedek's people did. It is so amazing when you study the mind of God and you see how He laid out the stars. It's just absolutely, you take the Bible and you read the Bible and you believe that. Then you study real science, not theories, but real evidence, the real evidence in science, and all the real evidence in science points you one way, it's to the Bible and to God. And then you begin to see how magnificent God is. He is so great and so magnificent, we say hallelujah. We say amen. When you study God's Word, if you will surrender your mind to what the Word really says, not interpretation, but translation, tense, mode, and voice, you are going to be surprised at how great your God is. You will see every person has a volition, has a will, and how that God works on that will, and they surrender, and God gives them faith. Now, that comes from God. That didn't come from you. That comes from God Himself. All right. For in this, they obtained witness, the forefathers. Now let's look and see here, Hebrews 11 and 1 and 11 and 4 and 39, there are cross-references to that verse. Now let's go to 11 and verse 3. 11 and verse 3. Let's see if we can read some of this, students. All right. What's that first word there? You know what that one is, Randall? Piste. Piste. All right. And then we have the word neuomen. Kater tiste. Tus. Ionas. Remati. Theu. Esto me ek. Phenomenon. To. Can you read this one? Bleh. Pomenon. Bleh pomenon. Bleh pomenon. Geg go nene. Gego nene. All right. This is a beautiful verse. John 1 and 3. Hebrews 1 and 2. Genesis 1 and 1. Psalm 33, 6 through 9. Hebrews 6 and 5. Colossians 1, 16. 2 Peter 3 and 5. Romans 4 and 17. Ephesians 3 and 11. Genesis 1 and 1. Romans 12 and verse 3. Romans 8 and 28. That's all in this verse. In faith, we accept God's word as it stands, by faith, infallible. As truth, blindly at first, then step by steps, we see the true scientific research of each word, tense, mode, and voice, and root, and being fascinated, awed by God's power and His intricate way that He has dealt with mankind. By faith, in faith, is literally what it says. That's locative, really. They have it dative or instrumental in some places, but really it's locative. In faith, for in faith you are having been saved. Ephesians 2 and 8. For in faith you are having been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. For in faith we understand. We have the mind of God. We have the understanding. We have the intellect to have been fitted together, framed, to have been fitted together the ages. Look at that. Tous aionos. It's not the worlds. In King James it says worlds, but it's not talking about worlds there. It's talking about the ages. God's eternal purpose, God's plan of the ages, as you look up here, God's plan of the ages. He had ages, and He fitted together them like a puzzle. He fitted those ages together like a puzzle. And look back here, as we look at this map, we can see an eternity past. God created Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, Job 1 and 7, Ephesians 2 and 2, Ezekiel 28, we see God working through time and space, and here we are now. Right here, in this period of time. But we see how God built the ages and fashioned them like a puzzle. A lot of people say, I can't read the Bible and put it together. It's just all confusing to me. If you take a map, Bible map like that, a dispensational chart, and you try to realize that how God dealt, how He fit the puzzle together, that's what it's talking about, Ephesians 3 and 11. Turn to Ephesians 3 and 11, the book of Ephesians. Actually, it's the circular letter to all the churches.
If you want that in Amplified?
Well, whatever. That right there would be fine. King James. King James is all right on 3 and 11. I like it. Even for Episcopalian, they didn't do too bad. They couldn't do too much violence to that verse.
And look,
yes.
According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
All right. God's eternal purpose, His eternal plan, how He fitted together the ages. That's what it's talking about. The ages by the word, the rhemata. That comes from rheo, and that means to flow. And this is an edict, this is a statement, a flowing from God. Of God, the flowing of God from God, unto the thing, not out of appearing, the thing having been seen to have become. Remember what it said back over in Colossians? How He created things, not out of seen things. But that which is invisible also. He created all things. The things visible and the things invisible. The things visible and the things invisible. For in faith we understand to have been fitted and framed together the ages. The puzzle of the ages, God's eternal purpose, God's plan, by the word of God, unto the thing not out of appearing, not appearing, phanemenon, look at that. Appearing, that comes from final, that means to put a light on it. Genitive plural masculine, present participle middle voice. All right, it's neuter, I mean, not masculine. It can be masculine or neuter, but it's neuter here. And the thing, that's the thing there, that is a neuter, definite article, and the word thing there is a practical substance. That's what it's talking about. The thing up above, eis to me, unto the thing not, out of appearing, the thing being seen, by the way, for yourself, to have become. All of the things that we see in the world, some of those things were made out of things that were invisible. When God created the heavens and the earth, where did everything come from? Came from God. When God created man, where did he get the material to make man out of? It came from God. It didn't come from the dirt of the ground. It came from the same elements as the dirt. But it came from God itself. God created man a primary creation, not a secondary creation. He's created from God. All the material came out of God, and he formed man as he formed the dust of the ground to become dust. Prophetically. Yes.
Is this the first... Dr. Guthrie, one of his books, said that the seen came from the unseen and that the notion that God created everything out of nothing...
Anelium, yeah. That's not true.
That's not true.
No.
Is this the verse he was saying when he said that he couldn't find in anywhere in the Bible any evidence that God created everything out of nothing? What he found instead was that the seen came from the unseen.
That's right.
Is this the verse that...
That's one of the verses there in Colossians also. There's two places in the Bible where it makes that statement plain. Alright? Let me get that on tape. There are two places in the Bible plainly, even more than that actually, but here are two places in the book of Colossians and in the book of Hebrews both, where we see that that which we didn't see was created that which we cannot see. Where did it come from? It came from the person of God. Alright, all of it came out of God. Boy, if all of it came out of God, then God must be a very big person, huh? He is unfathomable. He is great. We can see the creation in the creation itself. The rabbis say that there's two revelations that God gave to mankind. One of them is the creation itself. Romans, the first chapter, says the creation itself states that there is a God. If somebody can't see a tree out there and a creation of God and not see God, he's pretty blind. And the Bible says that God gave his word as a revelation of himself. He reveals himself to us through his word and through his creation. All right. Through his word and through his creation. And the schools teach today. They teach that all of this just fell together and it evolved. That just isn't the way it happened, people. That isn't the way it happened. I have a watch on my hand. I got this watch about 10 years ago. I bought it in a hawk shop. I saw this Rolex watch sitting in this hawk shop for $400. And I looked at that thing. I said, well, that looks... I said, can I look at that watch? And I looked at it and I looked all around it. I said, that's a real Rolex. Why in the world are they selling this watch for $400? Well, that's a it was about a $2,500 watch at that time. Well, I bought the thing for $400, and I took it home, and it didn't take long for me to figure out why that they sold it for $400, because it didn't keep time worth the flip. It was running about 3 hours or 4 hours ahead every day. You couldn't set that watch all day long. It wouldn't keep time. So I took it to a watchmaker, and he said, oh, well, it's got the balance staff wrong, so he worked on the balance staff. And I gave it back to me, and it still was just all messed up. So I took it to a real Rolex watchmaker, and he looked at it, and he said, man, he cleaned it real good and everything else and put a real Rolex balance staff in it. And then he gave it back to me, and I said, look how fast it's running. It wasn't timed right. He said, let me take that thing back. I'm going to look at that again. He took it back apart again, and he looked in there, and they had the wrong mainspring in it. From Rolex, somehow or another, Rolex put the wrong mainspring in this watch. And it made it run so fast, and whoever bought this watch brand new didn't want it because it didn't keep time. So he went and sold it, or whatever happened, hawked it or whatever at this hawk shop, and I came along and I bought it for $400 instead of $2,500, and I've had a good watch for 10 years because now it keeps time. But if I said to you, I don't believe that the Rolex watch company exists, what would you say? How much? How many Rolex watches are there in Bakersfield?
Well, you know, they all just evolved.
Yeah, they just fell together and fell on my arm.
You know, if you leave it in the desert for 10,000 years, you'll have a Cadillac.
Yeah, it'll turn into a Cadillac, yeah. Well, for me to say that Rolex, the company, does not exist is just like saying and watching, look at all the creation of God and say, God doesn't exist. All this happened. You know what the chances of this watch coming together out of stainless steel and gold, like it is right there, and crystal, what chance is that happening? Evolving? What chance do you think you have of evolving from a muddy mud hole? Just about the same chance of this watch falling out of the heaven and having the name Rolex on it. Just happening? That doesn't happen. In faith, we believe that. By faith, we believe. There's a whole lot of the world doesn't even believe that. There's a lot of people that go to churches that aren't sure that God exists. They're having a good time in churches. They're just, you know, they're having a good time. They're telling people things they want to hear. They're trying to make their life feel better. They're going to feel better. Get around people that have positive thinking. Positive thinking is good. I don't like negative thinking too much. It just wears me out. But that's not what's going to get you to heaven. That's not what's going to ground you in God's Word. It is the study of God's Word. What we've been doing tonight, we've been studying God's Word. Next week, we're going to start at 11 and verse 4. This is where we talk the hero, God's hero Hall of Fame.
Honey,
oh, not next week. We won't be here. All right. What is the date today?
22.
22. Next week, we won't have a class because we're going to be on vacation. All right. So we won't be here next week. I need to call everybody and all that kind of stuff. So pray for us while we're on vacation, too. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'm going to turn you loose on the world. Go out and do something eternal this week. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Help it to go out into the world and touch people's hearts. Help them to lead them to you and help them to build them up and give them a foundation for your word. Forgive me where I fail you. Help me to have the strength to go on and teach these classes. Encourage me with your word. Thank you for all the blessings you give us. Be with us as we go out and help us to glorify you with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.